Much study is a weariness to the flesh. A lot of students use that as an excuse not to study. Some preachers use that as an excuse not to study. They'll go to the internet, get them a message from some other preacher somewhere. Listen, you can study too many books to the neglect of the real book. God help us not to do that, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you, these dime store novels that I hear a lot about, people read, just wasting good brain cells. Get in something that will really give you something in return. Amen? Get the wisdom you need from the only one, Good Shepherd, who promises if we ask of God, He will give us that wisdom. I don't know about you, but I can't live without that. Life's too complicated. Situations are too difficult for us to understand. Without the blessed wisdom from God, we'd all be failures, wouldn't we? So let's just depend on Him and ask Him and receive from Him and let Him use us to be a help to other people. Amen.
Thank you for choosing to spend your time with us today. You're listening to Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland entitled Wisdom for Life. You can find out more about Sharon Baptist on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We'd love to have you join us in person or watch live stream on Facebook, 10:45 Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
A message I want to share is a message that we all need and need more of it, and we'll never get a full supply of it till we meet Jesus in heaven one day. I'm going to try to bring a message with the Lord's help on wisdom for life. And certainly, we need that, don't we? Let's turn into the book of Ecclesiastes, the last chapter there, chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 9 through verse 12. If you're not familiar with the Bible, you know where Psalms is. That's in the middle of the Bible. Go toward the New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, you'll find it. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 through verse 12. This is a conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote it. And speak on wisdom for life. After having been a Christian for more than 46 years, I think I'm just barely, if I say it minutely enough, barely scraping the very edges of wisdom. But Solomon was the wisest man in the world in his day. And he wrote many, many things that'll benefit us if we read his writings. We're going to read the conclusion of his writings here in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was taught, was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh, or of the flesh. Let's just look at the last two verses there. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When you take a course or you are signing up for a course, it doesn't matter whether it's in high school or whether it's maybe be in college or whether it's in a university somewhere for a postgraduate degree or even as pastors going into seminary. If you sign up for a course, you get the lesson plan or the syllabus, we'd call it. You get the syllabus or lesson plan and you go through all the lessons, and what happens at the end? You get the exam, don't you? you know that at the end of all these lessons, all this study that you have to do, there's an exam at the end. Well, as Solomon writes his great words of wisdom, he's writing here, he's covered through the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs as well. If you go back, hopefully, and read it, he's covered all kinds of subjects about life. He's covered subjects about death, about suffering, about food, about work, about money, about poverty, about wisdom, and also about foolishness. These verses are Solomon's final exam on life. Yet Solomon reviews the process. First, the lessons, and then the exam. But Solomon reverses the process and gives us the exam first, and then you learn the lessons of life, don't we? In the real world we live in today, we have the exam first, and then the lessons we live throughout life to study, don't we? Solomon tells us wisdom comes from three things. We'll look at these three things tonight. Wisdom comes from instruction. Wisdom comes from insight. And wisdom comes from inspiration. We're going to look at those three subjects here tonight. Wouldn't you all agree that we're in desperate need of some wise people today? Just look at our government. I heard a newscaster who's a liberal newscaster, by the way. I almost am reluctant to say this, but I'm going to say it. He said it, and I'll just repeat what he said. He said the Democrat Party now has become the party of no common sense. Well, now, that's his opinion. That's what he said. We need some wisdom in our land today, don't we? Desperately, we need wisdom. We agree. Well, since we need wisdom, why don't we just volunteer to be wise people? You can be. You can be wise, not as much probably as Solomon, of course, because God endowed him with extra wisdom that nobody's probably ever had before nor since. But nonetheless, you can be a volunteer. You can be wise. You can acquire in your life some biblical and spiritual and mental skills to be able to help other people. Every one of us can do that. Now, I want to look at this subject of wisdom for life from the instruction portion, from the insight portion, and from the very inspiration portion. Let's back up and look at verse 9. Wisdom comes through instruction. Look at verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. I don't know if we ever would know how many proverbs Solomon wrote, as wise as this man was. But he taught the people through many proverbs. Read the book of Proverbs sometimes. It will bless your heart. It covers every subject just about you could imagine in life. And so he taught people from Proverbs, instructed people. And it has been said that a proverb is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's also been said a proverb is the wisdom of God wrapped up in a pretty little package. But a proverb is a real practical word for a complicated world. Go back and look at Proverbs chapter 1 just a moment. Look at chapter 1, verse 2, and look at verse 6. Go back to Proverbs. This Solomon wrote all these marvelous things. And in Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 2. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Look at verse 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. So he wrote many proverbs to teach people knowledge. And he set about teaching instruction. Don't we learn from people instructing us? I couldn't ever begin to even think or thank all the men of God who've poured some things into my life, instructed me over the many, many years through school and education. I'm so thankful that they did. Wisdom is really seeing things, or seeing life, if you will, from God's perspective, from God's point of view. It's ability to apply biblical truths to real life situations. Without the Bible, I want to make a statement that I totally believe in. I hope you do. Without the Bible, no one can truly be wise. Can't happen. Because the Bible says, the fool said in his heart, there's no God. It takes instruction from the Word of God. So without the Bible, nobody can be wise. Wisdom is the ability to see things more clearly than just, as Solomon says, things under the sun or things on earth. So the wisdom that God gives through instructions is invaluable, isn't it? To see things the way God sees them, and then to apply God's divine wisdom to them. As we study the Bible, sometimes just a little simple sentence, maybe one verse or a paraphrase of some verse in the Scriptures, just one little portion of the Word of God can change a person's attitude for the rest of their lives. Just pick out one, for instance, that you all know about. John 3:16, short little small verse. But oh, the lives that have been changed, the attitudes that have been changed through just reading one little small verse, John 3:16. So you see, instruction brings wisdom into our lives. And I hope and I pray I'll always be open to instruction in my life. What about you? But another thing here, he says, wisdom doesn't just come from instruction. Wisdom comes from insight. Look at verse 10 here. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Solomon's teaching here is very similar to what Jesus taught when Jesus walked here on the face of the earth, God in the flesh. Only Jesus was able to magnify Solomon's wisdom as he did. You remember that God gave Solomon the opportunity to ask anything of God that he wanted? Ask me anything, he said, God did to Solomon. And Solomon said, I desire the wisdom to be able to teach your people. And God gave him magnified wisdom. Only Jesus Christ could have given him that kind of wisdom. Well, his wisdom follows along the teaching that our Lord Jesus Christ taught when he was here on the earth. Didn't it say of Jesus, his teaching was full of grace and truth? Do you find yourself sometimes struggling? I know I have over the many times over the years, found myself struggling to find sometime the right words to say at the right time in the right context to a person. You ever found yourself struggling to find the words? I tell you what I do when I get in those situations. You ought to memorize or remember James chapter 1, verse number 5. Look over there and let's look at it with me. In the epistle of James, go all the way towards the New Testament, toward the end, James chapter number 1, verse 5. I've had to go to this verse in the Scriptures and in my mind. I've tried to memorize it. And I've gone to it many, many, many times to claim the promise that God makes for inspired wisdom here. Look at James 1, 5. James writes, and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, who of us would not lack wisdom? I lack wisdom, don't you? I need wisdom, don't you? So it's promised to all of us, any of us. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It didn't say God might think about it. If you live right and do right, God might give you wisdom. If you do all the things God says to do, God will give you wisdom. It said, ask him, and he will give you the wisdom that you need. What are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. In situations where I find myself in an awkward position, I'm sure you have too, and you don't know exactly the words to say that you really want to say, if you'll just pause in your heart and ask the Lord Jesus, God, give me wisdom. I don't know at the times I've counseled people. over the many years I've asked, Lord, before I ever meet them, Lord Jesus, give me the wisdom that I need to know what to say, to be a good listener, to share only the things you'd be pleased with, the things that'll help these people who come to me for help. So, I asked the Lord for that wisdom. And you know, it'd be surprising if you'd know that when you get in those situations, the words that just roll off the end of your tongue. And you think sometimes, wow, did I say that? No, the Holy Spirit said it through you. Amen. But He gives us wisdom through the insight that only He can give. Well, you find yourself in many situations sometimes, and every time you do, call on this verse, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I know many times I've been in situations with my children, my wife, my family, my friends, church members, acquaintances. Doesn't matter what the situation is, you can always go to James 1:5. Always go to James 1:5, and God will give you the wisdom that you need. The thing to say, sometimes the thing you ought to do, or the thing you ought not to do, He'll give you the wisdom. If you're abiding in the Word of God, and the Word of God abides in you, you're going to be amazed at the things that you say that God gives you. Well, you don't have to have a college education, a university degree. You don't have to be educated in some seminary somewhere. I want to tell you a story. A man by the name of Alexander Grigolia. This is a true story, by the way. Alexander Grigolia moved here from Russia. And he went to school here, and he started being educated. And he got to the point where he took a professorship at the University of Pennsylvania. And then he went on and earned 3 doctorates. And he went on from that education, and he got an appointment to be a professor at Wheaton College. And he taught a young student under his professorship by the name of Billy Graham. Now, Alexander was a wise man, taught a brilliant preacher. But Alexander one day was in route somewhere, stopped to let a shoe shine boy shine his shoes. And this little young man seemed so happy. And Alexander asked him why he was so happy. And he told Alexander that it was because he knew Jesus as his Savior, and Jesus lived in his heart. And do you know that never got away from Alexander till it brought him to faith in Jesus Christ? What I'm saying is this. This highly educated professor, as high as you can go in education, had to bow at the feet of an uneducated shoeshine boy to come to real wisdom to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was appointed as professor of anthropology at Wheaton College. And he taught young Billy Graham. What a wisdom was passed on. Well, I said wisdom is learned through instruction. Wisdom is learned through insight. But also, wisdom is learned through inspiration. Look at verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. The deepest, the most lasting, the finest wisdom is that which comes from the one shepherd. One shepherd. Who is that? Jesus. He's a good shepherd, isn't he? He's God, isn't he, in the flesh? Certainly he is. This wisdom he gives is like little nails from a master carpenter doing finish work. These little nails he drives in moldings and makes pretty 45-degree cuts and 33-degree cuts and whatever he does, just makes a magnificent structure of some sort. God's wisdom through Christ, our shepherd, is like driving nails, driving home those truths in our hearts to assemble us spiritually as God wants us to be assembled. Also, God's word has been listed sometimes as a hammer, listed here as a hammer as well. It drives things into the walls of our heart by the Spirit of God Himself. It's also been classified as a two-edged sword, the writer of Hebrews talks about, that cuts into our souls, divides the marrow from the bones. So the Word of God is giving us great inspiration, is it not? In verse 12, Solomon warns us of studying too many books. Now, I've been accused over the years by another pastor who said, you just gone to seed on studying. Well, my scriptures teach me that a man of God is supposed to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to get inspiration to have wisdom to share the word of God with people, you're going to have to study. Amen? Now, Solomon says, now I warn you, now, you study the books, but don't you ever study the books to the neglect of the book. All true wisdom is based upon the book. Other books give us information. This book gives us transformation, doesn't it? It sure does. What's the best way to be wise? Somebody asked Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, one time, Ruth, what's the best way you can know to be wise? And here's what she said. She said, read, 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 but make the Bible your home base. Amen? Pretty good information, I think, wouldn't you? Good inspiration she gave. Well, the Bible to me is an everyday book. It has been since I got saved. It is today. And it will be in my life till the day I die. The Bible to me is an everyday book. A day without the Scriptures is like a day without bathing. You don't do that. It's like a day without breathing. You couldn't do that, could you? It gives us, I believe, the Bible gives us the final answers. And it is the final authority. I'm scared of these people. Let me not say it that way. Let me say it this way. I'm wary of these people who say there are no absolutes. Oh, my truth is as good as your truth. There is no final authority. There is no authority. There is no absolute. Oh, yes, there is. And there it is. Right there is the final authority. It's the blessed Word of God. Well, Solomon says, our faith is not about searching so much as it is in finding. It's not about the quest or the search. It's about the answers. But all people are interested in today is the questions, the quest, the quest. If someone who says there's no absolutes could just stand on the border of eternity and be faced with the final absolute truth of the Word of God, you know what many of them would do? They'd just turn their back and walk away like it didn't amount to anything. I'm tell you, I'm aware of those folks. Well, there is one word from one shepherd. Jesus said, my word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So don't get caught up in this post-modern day of secularism and get caught up in the quest, the quest, the questions, questions. Get to the answers, and right here is where you find them. Right here is a final authority. The inquiry is one thing, the answer is another. So, wisdom for life. It's given to us through instruction. It's given to us through inspiration. It's given to us through insight. So there it is. And we'll continually be collecting wisdom from God all the days of our life. Had a lady one time who was a former member of this church, not here any longer. Wouldn't dare tell your name anyway. You'd know who it was. We were talking about preaching one day. And she said, "Well, preacher, you don't have to study. You've been to school. You can just stand up and just preach anything you want to, and you'll know all about it." I said, "Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. If I stand behind this pulpit and haven't done any studying, God's going to fill my mouth. He will. But it'll be hot air. You don't need that. You don't want that. You want to hear word from the Lord, don't you? You want to have instruction given to you from the blessed word of God. You want to be inspired. You want some insight to help you grow and mature and continue to mature all the days of your life. Till you meet Jesus one day and he'll say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" A good servant is a good student. And a good student is a student of the word. Amen. I don't mind people telling me, "Well, you've just gone to seed, preacher, on the word of God." Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yes, I have. I've gone to seed on the word of God. Because, you see, this is the same word that's going to judge the world one day. And I want to know all about this word that I can. I want to know. Now, I read other books. Don't misunderstand me. I don't say don't read read another book of the Bible. I read other books to help me understand how to study the Bible. Go back in my office and look. You'll see many books. Over the years, I've studied many books, and I'm going to study some more. Lord lets my little mind continue to work. But I'm going to tell you, much study is a weariness to the flesh. A lot of students use that as an excuse not to study. Some preachers use that as an excuse not to study. They'll go to the internet, get them a message from some other preacher somewhere. Listen. You can study too many books to the neglect of the real book. God help us not to do that, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you, these dime store novels that I hear a lot about, people read, just wasting good brain cells. Get in something that will really give you something in return. Amen? Get the wisdom you need from the only one, Good Shepherd, who promises if we ask of God, he will give us that wisdom. I don't know about you, but I can't live without that. Life's too complicated. Situations are too difficult for us to understand. Without the blessed wisdom from God, we'd all be failures, wouldn't we? So let's just depend on him and ask him and receive from him and let him use us to be a help to other people. Amen? Let's stand together. And Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful you promised us wisdom. You promised us if we'd ask that you would give it to us. So I'm asking tonight to help us as a church. Help us as Sharon Baptist Church. Help us as church members. Help us as members of the body of Christ to secure the wisdom that only you can give, to understand how to apply the blessed word of God to all the situations of life, whatever they may be. And you get the honor, glory, and praise because the instruction comes from you. The insight comes from you. And the inspiration we get for wisdom also comes from you. So, Lord Jesus, as you supply that in our lives, we'll give you honor, glory, and praise for it all because I ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who is all truth. In his name we pray. Amen.
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church in his message entitled Wisdom for Life. You can download this message, listen to it again on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We'd love to have you come join us for services. We're at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord, North Carolina, 28027. Our services are on Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can watch them on Facebook live stream, Sharon Baptist Concord. Whatever you do, get in the Word of God. It really is wisdom for life. Join us next week at this time. Again, our website is Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.